Ate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, chapter entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Text number 10. Gandharva Yavana Krantan Kala Kanyopamarditam Hatum Prachakrame Raja Tam Purim Onikamit Mataha Gandharva Yavana Krantan Gandharva Yavana Krantan Kala Kanyopamarditam Kala Kanyopamarditam Hatum Prachakrame Raja Hatung Prachakrame Raja Tang Puri Manikamita Tang Puri Manikamata Gandharva Yavana Krantan Kala Kanyopamarditan Hatung Prachakrame Raja Tang Purin Anikamataha. Gandharva Yavana Krantam Kala Kanyopamarditam Hatung Prachakrame Raja Tangpuri Manikamataha Gandharva Yavana Krantam Kalakanyopamarditam Hatung Prachakrame Raja Sampuri Manikamata Gandharva Yavana Krantam Prachakrame Rajam Manikamata Gandharva Yavana Krantam Ankuri Manikamata Gandharva Yavana Krantam Chakro Pamarditam Ramesha Raja Anikamata Gandharva Yavana Krantam Pamarditam Atum Prachakrame Raja Tampuri Manikamataha Akantam Vachakro Pamarditam Tampuri Manikamataha
Matajis
Parvayavana Akantam Kala kanyo pamardicham. Atung prachakrame raja. Tangpuri manikamataha. Gandharva. By the Gandharva soldiers. Yavana. And by the Yavana soldiers. Akantam. Overcome. Kalakunya. By Kalakunya. The daughter of time. Upamarditam. Being smashed. Hatum. To give up. Prachakrame. Proceeded. Raja. King Puranjana. Tam. That. Purim. The city. Anikamataha. Unwilling. Translation. The city of King Puranjana was overcome by the Gandharva and Yavana soldiers. And although the king had no desire to leave the city, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kalakunya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entity, separated from the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tries to enjoy this material world. He is given a chance to enjoy it in a particular type of body, beginning with the body of a Brahma down to that of the microbe. From the Vedic history of creation, we can understand that the first living creature was Lord Brahma, who created the seven great sages and other Prajapatis to increase the universal population. Thus, every living entity, according to karma, his past desires and activities, gets a particular type of body, from that of Brahma to that of a microbe or germ in stool. Due to long association with a particular type of material body, and also due to the grace of Kalakunya and her maya, one becomes overly attached to a material body, although it is the abode of pain. Even if one tries to separate a worm from stool, the worm will be unwilling to leave. It will return to the stool. Similarly, a hog generally lives in a very filthy state, eating stool. But if one tries to separate it from its condition and give it a nice place, the hog will be unwilling. In this way, if we study each and every living entity, we will find that he will defy offers of a more comfortable position. Although King Puranjana was attacked from all sides, he was unwilling to leave the city. In other words, the living entity, whatever his condition, does not want to give up the body. But he will be forced to give it up because, after all, this material body cannot exist forever. The living entity wishes to enjoy the material world in different ways, and therefore, by nature's law, he is allowed to transmigrate from one body to another, exactly as a person transmigrates from the body of an infant to a child, to a boy, to a youth, to a man. This process is constantly going on. At the last stage, when the gross body becomes old and invalid, the living entity is reluctant to give it up, despite the fact that it is no longer usable. Although material existence and the material body are not comfortable, why does the living entity not want to leave? As soon as one gets a material body, he has to work very hard to maintain it. He may engage in different fields of activity, but whatever the case, everyone has to work very hard to maintain the material body. Unfortunately, society has no information of the soul's transmigration. Because the living entity does not hope to enter the spiritual kingdom of eternal life, bliss, and knowledge, he wants to stick to his present body, even though it may be useless. Consequently, the greatest welfare activity in this material world is the furthering of the Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is giving human society information about the kingdom of God. There is God, there is Krishna, and everyone can return to God and live eternally in bliss and knowledge. A Krishna conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. A Krishna conscious person engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord eternally. Therefore, as long as he lives within the body, he is happy to engage in the loving service of the Lord. And when he gives up the body, he is also permanently situated in the service of the Lord. The saintly devotees are always free and liberated, whereas the karmis, who have no knowledge of spiritual life or the transcendental loving service of the Lord, are very much afraid of giving up the rotten material body. Gandharva yavana krantam kala kanyo pamarditam hatung prachakrame raja tang puring anikamataha. The city of King Puranjana was overcome by the Gandharva and Javana soldiers, and although the king had no desire to leave the city, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kala Kunya. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamahyam Dadati Sopadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatade Shatayane. King Puranjan, it's being explained, is very attached to his useless city, which is no longer, it's described earlier that he had so many opportunities for gratifying his senses. So many facilities in the city. But gradually now all those facilities are gone, and no longer, he can no longer enjoy there. But still, he's attached. Still he doesn't want to leave. It's a useless place. Still he doesn't want to leave. Narada Muni is making this analogy because this is the situation of King Prachina Barihishad. Narada Muni, very compassionate about King Barihishad, who is, his sons have grown up and gone away and taken up spiritual life, and he's still doing his Vedic sacrifices and so many ritualistic performances, somehow or other trying to squeeze more enjoyment out of his body, which is becoming old and decrepit. Maharaj Barihishad's body is becoming old, and very soon it will be useless for anything. So Narada Muni is giving warning. He's very fortunate. Maharaj Parikshit is very fortunate because he's getting warning from Narada Muni standing in front of him. So many warnings are there. The one example, warning sign, glasses. The eyes no longer can see properly, so you have to wear glasses in order to read the Bhagavatam. Ears no longer work properly. Getting up, sitting down becomes a problem. Maybe sleep is not there. These are all warning signs. The body is getting old and useless. The ladies are no longer interested. Another warning sign. So this is so many warning signs are there. We have to take them seriously. And if we're very fortunate, even if we don't understand that the body is getting old and decrepit, then if Krishna will send his representative to, like Narada Muni, to preach to us and explain to us. And if we're very, very fortunate, even if we're not capable of understanding direct instructions from some great souls, these great souls will somehow or other, they'll make an analogy, or somehow or other they'll trick us into understanding the lesson that we have to learn. And that's Narada Muni's wonderful story here about King Puranjan. If Narada Muni was figuring, if he just came and made a direct instruction, that it wouldn't be, King Prachini Barishad is going to say, I'm doing Vedic sacrifices, I'm worshipping the Supreme Lord, I'm guaranteed liberation. What is the problem? But Narada Muni understands that King Prachini Barishad may be following so many Shastric injunctions, but he's become overly attached to his body. So he has to somehow or other, by hook or by crook, he has to rescue his disciple from his condition. So he tells this wonderful, wonderful story. And Krishna is always sending his representatives in so many different ways to give instructions based upon the capacity of the audience. Well, Bhaktivinod Thakur gives direct instruction in his Godruma Chandra Bhajana Upadesh. Yadi te hari para saroja sudha rasapana parang hridayang satatang parihritya grihang kali bhava mayang bhaja Godruma kana nakunja vidum. If your heart wishes to be always absorbed in drinking the ambrosial mellows of the lotus feet of Lord Hari, then give up mundane household life full of Kali Yuga quarrels and strife and just worship the beautiful moon, O Godruma forest bowers. So this is a direct instruction. If you want to have this ambrosial nectar of Lord's, of the lotus feet of the Lord, then worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he goes on to say, Dana Jovana Jivana Raja Sukham Nahi Nitya Manukshana Nasa Param Teja Gramya Kata Sakalang De Phalam Bhaja Godruma Kana Nakunja Vidhum. Material riches, youth, a long life, and royal happiness, none of these are certain. At every moment they are being destroyed. Give up all useless mundane conversations and just worship the beautiful moon of Godruma's forest bowers. So Dhana, Jovana, Jivana, Rajasukham, Nahi Nityam Anukshana. These are, in 1 minute they're gone. Take warning now. Don't wait until the last minute. Taste the lotus feet of Lord Hari now. Give up this useless gramya katha. And just worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramani jana sanga sukhang chasake charame bhayadang purushartha haram Hari naam sudhara samatta matir bhajagodrumakana nakunja vidum. O friend, the pleasure to be had in the company of beautiful young women ultimately turns to fearfulness and distracts one from the true goal of human life. With your mind intoxicated by the nectarian mellows of the holy name of Lord Hari, just worship the beautiful moon of Godruma's forest bowers. All this, whatever enjoyment it is that you're experiencing in this material world, it's going to turn to fearfulness. That's the story here. That's what's going on to King Puranjana. He was very much happy enjoying with his wife. But that very, very, very attachment to his wife, that desire to enjoyment and the association of his wife, now, as his city has become old and useless, then it becomes fearfulness. Out of attachment. He has this attachment. And he's very fearful that it's all being taken away. And he's coming to the end of his life and he has he's just completely absorbed in thoughts of how he's going to lose his beautiful wife and his beautiful city and all his senses and how he's going to enjoy. And then we'll see that he'll take another birth. So all these things that we're desiring to achieve in this life, they're going to be taken away very quickly. Kali kukkura mudgura bhava dharam harinama mahoshara dana param patitarta dayarja sumurti dharam bhajagodruma kana nakunja vidum. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is that of wielding a stick for chasing away the mad dog of Kali Yuga. Kali kukkura mudgara bhava dharam. He is absorbed in distributing the holy name of Hari, the great remedy for material existence. His heart is melted with compassion for the fallen souls who are suffering, and his transcendental form is very beautiful. Just worship the beautiful moon of Godruma's forest bowers. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, just give it all up and worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's driving away this Kali Yuga. All the distress of Kali will very quickly go. So this is direct instruction. But not everyone even is prepared to take direct instruction. Some people are saying, oh, you're telling me to do that. I'm doing fine. Why are you instructing me? What is your business to tell me? So sometimes even more indirect the Vaishnavas have to be. They have to speak as if they're talking to their mind, to talking to them, to themselves. This is called different manaboda in Odia. I don't know, some other languages. It's different words are there, but the instructions to the mind, Mana Shiksha. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote Mana Shiksha. But in Ariya, one great Vaishnava, Bhakta Charan Das, he's written a even more graphic poem called Manabodha Chotisha. Manabodha means instructions to the mind. And Chotisha is a particular type of poem with some particular alliteration, where all the first lines of every first letters of every line are alphabetical. So this is a very beautiful long poem where every verse, first verse has ka 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 ka, four lines beginning with ka, next one with ka. Very nice instructions to the mind he has written. Kahai mana are mo bola kar kalashi muka bare dikiba chalare keti dinaku mana bandu chu anta ki geni jibu tora chutale ghatare. I say to you, O mind, obey my order. Let us go and see the beautiful black-faced one, Lord Jagannath. For how long will you remain bound in material life? At the end of your life, what will you take with you? So, for those that are not prepared to accept direct instruction, so here Bhakta Charan Das, he's saying, he's preaching to himself, as if he's preaching to himself. And others can take advantage. Next verse. Kandi je kandi tora panjara kati kauna tibe shwana shrigala bantire kat palanke mana sejai sho kala durganda heva e tora dehure. Piece by piece, your ribs will be distributed amongst the dogs and jackals. O mind, you are now sleeping comfortably on a nice mattress, but after death, your body will give off a terrible smell. You think this body is very nice, but as soon as it dies, some terrible smell will start coming. So why are you thinking this is such a wonderful thing to take such nice care of? The mind is always thinking how to make nice, comfortable arrangements for the body. But we don't understand what this body is. Very soon it's going to be giving off a terrible smell. Next verse beginning with ga. Goleni to sanguru jtk jan gantire bandinele ke kete dhanare guru gobinda nama tunde na bolu gare majina nitye dhana arjilure. Goleni to sanguru jtk jan, how many of your friends and family have already died? How much of their wealth could they bind in a cloth to take with them? You have never uttered the names of Guru and Govinda, always deeply absorbed in thinking how to gather wealth. So he's preaching to his mind, and we should also preach to ourselves like this. So many people have already died, our friends and family, so many have already left. Did they take anything with them? Did they take a cloth and bind up all their wealth and go off to the next life with their little bag? No. Just like recently some dictator of one African country there was some revolution and he had to leave the country in a hurry. So he just took all the gold bullion he could gather and stuffed it in whatever bag he could carry onto the airplane, and trying to, as if that was going to solve his problems, taking all his gold with him. But we can't bind up our wealth and take it to the next life. We may be able to take it to the next country, but we're not going to be able to take it to the next life with us. And we have not, you have not uttered the names of Guru and Govinda. As you have not lovingly called out to the Lord for his pleasure. You've only been thinking how to gather wealth. Next verse, beginning with Gha. Ghara boli arjichu jete padartha gata chutile tote bolibe bhutare ghara gharani deha kilau tibe geni bandhu kutumba shuddha hoi bere. You are acquiring so many things like house and family. But what will happen now? It says, gata chutile tote bolibe bhutare. When you, after you leave this body, if you try to go back to enjoy the wealth that you left behind, everyone's going to cry, bhut, bhut, ghost has come. So that's how, you'll try to enjoy your wealth, and everyone will think, oh, a ghost has come. Close up the windows. Keep the ghost out. Chant the holy name. The ghost will go away. And then, gara gharani deha kilau tibe. They'll close up all the doors and windows. And then they're going to consider, I'm very contaminated. All the ladies will consider that there's some recommended period now. I'm very, I become contaminated because he's died. So I have to wait some time now before I can have any social involvement, because my husband has died, my father has died, my son has died, whatever. So this is. This is mana bodha. This is instructing to the mind. We should be reading these poems. There's so many examples. Manak Shiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami. So many examples are there of instructions to the mind. We should constantly be telling ourselves, yes, we're. Our desire to enjoyment, our attempts to enjoy are useless. So, okay. Now, I've given up desire for wealth. I've left my family. I'm now brahmachari, sannyasi, staying in the temple. So these things don't apply to me. I'm not after wealth. I'm just whatever prasad comes, whatever the guru gives me, I'm taking. So, we're just performing service to the guru on a daily basis. So then, what is our danger from all these things? I'm doing very nicely. Everyone says I'm a very nice devotee. Big scores are there, marathon collection. I have a big position, department head, temple president, guru, GBC, whatever. We have so many big positions. So we must be doing fine. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Vaishnava K? What kind of Vaishnava are you? He's speaking also, and speaking to his mind also. Because even if you're thinking you're a Vaishnava, danger is still there. And what is that danger? What is that danger for a Vaishnava? Pratishtha. And the desire for Pratishtha comes. Don't you know who I am? I'm a Vaishnava, Prabhupada disciple. Bow down. This will come. I'm temple president. I'm brahmachari. This is when we're hearing this story of Maharaj Puranjan, we should understand it's all about this. We're not free from these, even though King Vachinibharishat is in one particular kind of situation and King Puranjan is in a particular kind of situation. We all have this disease. We all have this material desires of different kinds. Even the pauper is proud of his penny. Even the brahmacharis are attached to their two sets of cloth or one set of cloth, whatever. So we have to be constantly understanding that this material, of course, being a brahmachari is definitely an advantage. Less things to be attached to. But still, that doesn't mean there's nothing to be attached to. I have my little space to sleep on the floor. Someone else comes and stays in my space. Oh, what is this? So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's written this song, Vaishnava K, to the Vaishnavas. This is not just to the general public. He's writing to the Vaishnavas. What kind of Vaishnava are you? It's a very long poem, but one very relevant verse. Tomara pratishta shukorera vishta tar saha sama kabu namanava matsarata bashe tumi jararase majecho chariya kirtana saushtava. Your pratishta, your desire for your attachment to your position is nothing but the stool of a hog. She-hog. Stool of a she-hog. Shukorera vishta. Your pride. Your pride is simply a manifestation of the material energy. Tumi jara rase. He said, Majecho chariya kirtana shoshtava. You don't understand this Sankirtan movement, the glories of the Sankirtan movement. You're just trying to, instead of giving all credit to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan movement, you're trying to take credit for yourself. Yes, I'm a very nice Vaishnava. I'm a very good preacher. I'm a very good devotee. We cannot understand the depths and glories of this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. We know there's no time for wasting with this temporary pleasures of trying to enjoy this material world. We have so much to do. So many conditioned souls are there, absorbed in Maya. We have to give all our energy somehow or other to rescue them, take them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. We don't have, there's no time for this trying to enjoy even our little position within the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada has created this institution. Created so many positions, because institution is required for efficient spreading of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Institution is required. And institution means so many, has to be organization. And organization means position. So those who without institution, we don't have the strength to simply chant Hare Krishna, sit under a tree like the six Goswamis and chant Hare Krishna and write books. We don't have the strength to do that. We're still neophytes. We're just beginning spiritual life. We have so many material desires. So Prabhupada has created this institution and he's given so many opportunities for us to dovetail our material desires in the organization, Krishna consciousness movement. So we should understand that the position is not a reward for our being a good devotee. The position is a arrangement that Srila Prabhupada and Guru and the Vaishnavas have made so that we can be satisfied in our service in order to be able to maintain our sadhana. If we don't have a service that's engaging for our mind, then we'll give up chanting. We have to have proper engagement. We have to have some structure. We have to have authority. We have to have all these things. But those things are not created for our enjoyment. Those things are created because we are in need of that in order to chant Hare Krishna. We should always remember this. And if we can remember this, then there's no Maya will not come and trick us into thinking that I'm the enjoyer of this position within the Sankirtan movement. In this mood, then we will be very enthusiastic to render whatever service to the Vaishnavas. We should see our position as an increased opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas. More service, more position, more expectation of service to the Vaishnavas. In this way we should aspire for pushing on this Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? His Holiness Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. Microphone coming. And I'm getting old.
Hare Krishna. Okay. There's not a question, this is a request. Could you please send that poem with the translation to me? You have it on
the Chodisha, huh?
Yeah, the Manabodha. Thank you.
This is just one part. It's only the there's one verse for every letter of the alphabet.
Yeah, it must be quite long. Do you have it all in translation?
Yeah, we have it.
Could be pretty renowned stuff after hearing all of that.
Raja Bihari, you studied this. You must have studied this poem in school.
Mathura Mangal, you studied in school.
This is the kind of
That's
thing
the kind of
in.
Schools we should have, yeah. School about how not to get born again.
Another question? Raise your hand so you can.
Knowledge and renunciation are considered as the offspring of bhakti, right?
What is that?
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
And renunciation.
Offspring of bhakti, yes. Yeah, that's there and in...
So these are the two of Aishwarya of Lord. What about the four other Aishwarya, like power, wealth, fame, beauty? They are offspring of what?
That's from what? The description of the offspring, that's from Bhagavat Mahatmya. So it doesn't talk about the other four. I don't know the connection. You have any clue? I think he's talking about processes, right? That jnana and karma are processes which are offspring of bhakti as a process.
Jnana and vairagya are described as the sons of bhakti.
Sons of bhakti, yeah.
It's allegorical.
Allegorical.
Seems to be.
Jnana, the process of jnana and the process of vairagya, they're dependent upon bhakti. They cannot be successful without the touch of bhakti. That's the example that there is, I believe. I don't know. You can explain more.
Yeah, all the he's talking about the six mukhya chief opulences of Bhagavan. That's Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriya. So they're all these are all opulences of Bhagavan, and they manifest in bhakti also.
Yeah. Manifest in bhakti.
Bhakti is the Swarup Shakti of Bhagavan, and from her, Radha, all the other opulences, Krishna is the male side and Radha is the female side, and just as there is Gyan in Bhagavan, there is Gyan in Radha, and it all expands.
Any other question? Comment? Gyanagamya Prabhu.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class. It was just one comment that I remember you were talking about institution. So it's very important to maintain Prabhupada's institution. And Bhakti Siddhanta, he said that when organized religion, he said, is a necessary evil.
Yes.
So we have that. It's a necessary evil. So when you're dealing with something that's necessarily, somewhat contaminated, you have to be very, very careful. Very nice point you made. Thank you.
Just like your fire, you can use fire very nicely to cook offerings for the Lord, but you touch it and you can become burnt. You have to be, this institution is like that. It's a material, device which can be used for spreading Krishna consciousness, but it has to be dealt with very carefully, very dangerous. It can burn you. It can burn up your whole spiritual life if you're not careful. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.